punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KCO. Current weather is 81 degrees, winds out of the southeast at 9 miles an hour with gusts up to 13 miles an hour. Humidity is 69, and I haven't been outside in a little bit, but I'm guessing it's muggy. Is it muggy out there, Cody? It's muggy. He's wishing he had wore shorts in here. But anyway, so, hey, we're streaming Facebook Live, and also we got the text line, the KCO Ag text line open at 580-225-9697. You guys just text in if you just want to say hello, and I'll say hello back. But if you got anything you want to talk about, ask me, ask my guests, or got any recommendations for future shows, anything you want to do, just text in at 225-9697. Well, I got a few things in the ag news to go over with you before we get to our guest. There is a preg checking school happening at the Circle 5 School for Cattlemen August 14th through the 15th in Coweta, Oklahoma. Call 573-208-8125. 573-208-8125. And you can learn how to go preg check cattle. I wish I'd have done that, but I'm getting a little old for that now. There's people I can hire to do that. But Elk City Livestock Auction will be Friday. Call Brandon Hickey for any of your needs with buying or selling cattle. He was in here yesterday, and he's awesome. I hope he comes in more often because he had a lot of good information. Him and I had a great conversation about buying, selling, and how things have changed, and on and on and on. That was a great, I hope you guys enjoyed yesterday. American Farm Bureau President Zippy Duvall pushed back against the current administration's stance that most small family farmers will escape a proposed capital gains tax to replace the so-called stepped-up bases. Duvall disputed the claim that a $2 million per couple exclusion on the gain on farm assets and that passed on to children will let them off the hook on any new capital gains tax. Well, that study came out of Texas A&M, said 98% of the farmers would be affected if the stepped-up basis was removed. Even though we appreciate them making an effort to recognize agriculture and the difficulty we are going through in today's time and what it costs to be in agriculture, the values of land and equipment across this country that we have to farm, it's really pennies. When a $2 million exemption is compared to farming cost, if you're going to farm corn and soybeans, you can't make a living off 500 acres. If you're going to grow cotton in South Georgia, well, the cotton picker costs $800,000. You can't just farm 500 acres. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack said most family farms would be exempted from the proposed new capital gains tax at death that would help fund the Biden America's Family Social Infrastructure Plan. So that's that on that. The USDA wants to remind conservation partners that they will be investing $17 million to help protect and restore critical wetlands on agriculture lands through the Wetland Reserve Enhancement Project Partnership. USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, the NRCS, is prioritizing proposals that focus on assisting historically underserved producers conserving wetlands. But the deadline for proposals for the partners is nearing, as they are due by August 15, 2021. NRCS Easement Program Division Center Kerry Lingard explains how these dollars will be used. Funding will be provided through the Wetland Reserve Enhancement Partnership, part of the ACEP, a farm conservation program, through WREP projects, Eligible conservation partners protect, restore, and enhance high-priority wetlands on agriculture land. Eligible partners include tribes, state, and local governments, and non-government organizations. WREP partners are required to contribute a financial or technical assistance fund match. This WREP funding is for fiscal year 2022, which begins October 1, 2021. Partners interested in applying should contact their NRCS state office for more information, and ours is in Stillwater. And so that, so speaking of wetland, I have coming up in my next segment, I have Cody Gleaner. Is that right? Did I say that right? I want to say Gallagher, but it's Gleaner. And I was schooled on it downstairs a while ago by Nathan how to say that, and I still messed it up. With Ducks Unlimited in the Ag Room today, and we're going to be discussing water resources. And that's why I read that. That has something to do with you guys. And so, anyway, it's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 23rd. 1,110 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 379 brought 203.50. 13 at 520 brought 164. 6 at 595 brought 158. 5 at 718 brought 158. 3 at 727 brought 155. 14 at 822 brought 148. 4 head of heifers at 344 brought 155. 7 at 506 brought 142. 8 at 606 brought 149. 15 at 688 brought 140.50, 3 at 738 brought 136, 6 at 792 brought 137.50. Butcher cows were 41 to 83, bred cows 650 to 1410, butcher bulls 65 to 106.50, pairs brought 875 to 1750. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back. Current weather is still right at 81 degrees, humidity 69, winds out of the southeast at 9 miles an hour. Well, I got Mr. Cody Gleaner in the room, and he is, are you the president?
The District 9 chairman.
You're the chairman, that's right. I knew that. It's District 9 chairman for Ducks Unlimited, and wildlife and agriculture go together. So every now and then, every other week or so, I'm going to have somebody on here from the wildlife department or from one of our groups. We got the National Wildlife Turkey Federation. We got Ducks Unlimited. We got Quail Forever. All three of these chapters are very heavily organized in this area. And welcome to the studio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in here.
Okay. And then I know a lot of people know who you are, but tell everybody who you are and where you're from.
So I live here in Elk City. Lived here. I was born here, moved off, been around, and I'm back. I've been back for about 10 years. And so we started a local Ducks Unlimited chapter back up about 4 or 5 years ago, probably 5 years ago now. And we ran that for a couple of years, and then I've just moved up to – made it to district chairman. Now I've got five area chapters underneath.
What chapters are those?
There's one here in Elk. There's Custer County, Altus, Lawton, and we just started a new chapter back up in Chickasha.
Oh, great. And then who's the president of our local chapter here?
Lance Pitzer.
Oh, I don't know him. Good. When did you get promoted to district? It's been a few years, hasn't it?
It has. We try to run in 2-year terms.
Right.
I think some of that has to do with legalities for national purposes, but
right.
And to keep people from getting burned out. And
right.
You know as well as I do, it's not that hard to get burned out when you're the guy doing it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got ousted from being president at Quail Forever.
Yeah.
And Russ Rundle took over for me. Russ and some of those guys, they had enough of me, so they ousted me. So now all they want me to do is raise money for the banquet.
Right, yeah. So
I'm just kidding. I didn't get ousted. We switch out every 5 years.
Sure. So this is my fourth year as district chairman. They've asked me, my 2 years is up, and they asked me to do it again for another year, and I just got asked. We just had state convention 2 weeks ago, I think, in Oklahoma City. And so they're like, well, you mind doing it for another year? I was like, I guess, whatever you need me to do. So
how was the state convention?
Good. It was real good. Good turnout, good crowd. I've got some numbers to go over here in a little bit. The state of Oklahoma is up in numbers, as well as we're in Region 8, Oklahoma, New Mexico, and Texas, and that's up in numbers. So everything's looking pretty good moving forward.
Yeah, because a while back, it's been 6 or 7 years ago, because I knew it's Oklahoma, Texas, and Kansas, right? Or New Mexico. New Mexico, yeah. Not Kansas. So that's a big area because the coastlines down there along Texas is very important to, well, it's important to wildlife, period. But sure. Ducks Unlimited is really heavy into there and up into the Canadian part up there along the border.
Right.
Because they got the breeding and the land, you know, they got all kinds of stuff going on up there.
Right. As far as people always say, oh, down in Texas, you know, like, well, people don't understand Texas takes up half the bottom of the United States. So that's a lot of area.
Yeah, the three counties of our listening area out here is big as our eight counties. It's in Oklahoma, right. And listening county. Right. Texas is big in everything, well, they think they are. But so what all did you learn about any of your numbers from up there?
So Nash and the in the United States, we are around 47 million is what we raised last year, and that was through a pandemic and everything else. Nobody likes to talk about that, but that's pretty good for being in a pandemic. And you know, 47 million seems like a lot of money, but it takes a lot of grease to run a wheel that big.
Yes.
I mean, Ducks Unlimited's. I'm just gonna say, I don't know for sure, but I'm gonna say it's probably the biggest 501c3 nonprofit fundraising organization.
And you're probably right.
And it does. It takes a lot of money to run something like this. But so that's national dollars. Region 8, like we talked about, is Texas, New Mexico, and Oklahoma. And they're right at $6.2 million is what they raised in those three states for the whole United States. And Oklahoma's contribution to that in a pandemic and everything else, Oklahoma still managed to raise somewhere around just shy of 800,000.
It's pretty good.
So, yeah, I think by the time you add everything, by the time we had budgeted to make 660,000, and I think by the time you get all of your life sponsors and all your calendar money and all that stuff, I think we were right close to $1 million.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That's
super. And do you know how much money you guys actually spend in Oklahoma or?
So that's one thing that I was hoping we were going to get to talk about. And me and my regional director, we talked about it a little bit on the phone yesterday. And that's one thing we wanted to point out was that we do spend money in Oklahoma. Like every time we order guns, we have huge vendors outside of Oklahoma. But if we have a chance to use a local FFL guy to buy guns, I mean, we have to have one at the banquet. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
But if we have a chance to use him to purchase our guns, we do it. We always use local vendors to have our banquets, or whether it be a fire and ice or whatever. It's always a local, you know, restaurant, or we use the Civic Center quite a bit.
Right.
We use local caterers. We've used Blue Mountain Smoke a couple different times. We used Pedro's once. Had our last deal at Fred's. You know, we always use somebody local. So we try to spend as much local dollars as we possibly can to help our local economy. But
well, that being said, he was talking about the pandemic. And by the way, if you're just joining us, it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and I got Cody Gallagher so bad. Anyway, sorry. Gleaner in here with me, and we're talking about Ducks Unlimited, and we're just getting through some of the numbers that's been going on that we want to talk about, and then we're going to talk about water resources and stuff like that here in a little bit. So he's talking about the pandemic last year. We felt the same pain you guys did.
Sure.
And because, you know, up until a few weeks before our banquet in September, we didn't know if we could have one.
Right.
And because the National puts out the deal that, hey, because of the virus or because of the pandemic, you know, we don't want you getting a big group of people together. And it, like me, Quail Forever being the cause of 10 people getting the COVID,
sure,
you know,
sure,
at the Elks Lodge, you know, it was, but people don't realize that our, them banquets is our money,
yes,
for the
absolutely
year. I mean, that's the way we can go sell a ticket here for a gun or something here, but we need to raise some major money to do the projects we want to do in the local area.
Right. So that's what that is a big part of fundraising is our local banquets. And one thing I wanted to talk about is, yes, Ducks Unlimited is waterfowl conservation, wetlands conservation, but it's not just about a bunch of hunters trying to support more land and area for ducks, you know.
We're all in it together.
And wetlands conservation, a lot of what we do is up in Canada. That's where a lot of our money goes, up like to the Dakotas and up north.
To preserve it.
But people don't understand those aquifers run underground, just like water runs downhill in the creeks and everything else.
Right.
It runs downhill underground too, you know.
Right.
And every one of us uses water every day. So we all need to chip in and do our part to be able to send that money to preserve the wetlands.
Right.
Not just for ducks and geese, but quail, deer, and for us as humans. I mean, yeah, that does a big
part. It helps with fish, too.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, it's wildlife, period. And that's what, out here, agriculture plays a big role, even though some areas in our listening area have more wildlife than they know what to do with
right
over there.
Right.
But, we just can't go in there and disintegrate them. We got to be smart about it. And I think our wildlife department's done the most they can do with the problems we've had. But it seems like our wildlife department in the last 10 years has really stepped their game up.
They have. We had two speakers from ODWC at state convention, and they talked for 20, 30 minutes or whatever.
You remember who they were?
Because
there's a bunch of
no,
them.
No, there is. One of the guys, he seemed to be the head guy for our area, you know, for the region or whatever.
For the wildlife.
And I cannot remember their names, and I apologize for that.
Oh, that's
if you
okay
listening, but they...
I probably wouldn't have recognized.
They both talked, and they're doing great things. You know, they hit on the turkey deal just a little bit, changing the season and the bag limit and stuff, and they talked about whether they're going to have to do it for waterfowl or leave it alone. For now, they're just going to leave it alone. But, They give us a bunch of information, and them guys are great. And like we talked earlier off air, I mean, we work side by side with those guys
all of us.
The time. Yeah, I mean, you know, every project we do, and I was going to get into projects here in a little bit, you know, but we've done projects on every WMA, every public spot in Oklahoma. We've done some sort of project, you know, like we've done some work up in Black Kettle up
yep
south of Arnett a couple right years ago.
Yep.
We've done work at Drummond Flats. We've done work down at Hackberry. We've done a bunch of work at Hackberry, actually, but that's turning out good.
So is the flyway for geese and ducks, has it narrowed, widened, changed any?
I don't know. You know, me and a couple local guys sit around and scratch our heads all season wondering why we don't have birds here. And I don't know if the flyway's changing. I don't know if it's because farming patterns are changing, crops are changing. I don't have the right answers for it. Those guys at the Department of Wildlife Conservation, they know, and they'll tell you if you call and ask them. Reach out to them, and they'll definitely give you all the advice and all the knowledge that they have, but I don't know what it is. I know that not having the wetlands and them birds not hatching is a big part of the problem.
Yep.
And they've already told us that the hatch from this last spring is already down about 50%. So don't be expecting to call your buddies up for a bang up shoot, you know, just
right.
It's better if you find a good spot, you better keep it to yourself. So
what I've noticed since I moved back from Kansas to Oklahoma in 2009, what I've noticed when Kansas is in a cold pattern and the lakes are froze up over there, there's more geese and ducks down here.
Right.
Like last winter, I think it was last winter, maybe even the winter before, except for the 2 weeks, the big storm we had
right
this year, you know, there was no water frozen up there in Kansas.
Yeah, and that, so if they've got food and they've got open water, they're not coming down.
Why travel?
Sure, and you know, a lot of guys like the those guys at the state convention, they told us, you know, birds, when it's fall time in Canada, they're sticking with that temperature pattern, moving all the way down. Right. Well, you and I both know that's not 100% accurate because it can be colder than crap here.
Yeah.
But if they've got open water and they can still find a food source,
right,
they may stay north of us. It may be cold north of us, froze up, no food, and we may have perfect conditions here, and we've seen them fly right by before. So it's hard to tell. You just never do know for sure. But
it's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Okay. Welcome back. Hey, before I go any further, I want everybody out there to know who dresses me every day. If you go online and check out Sandy Clark's dressahusbandeveryday.com, you'll find Sandy on there. She buys all my apparel. My last 10 new shirts are really nice and comfy. They come from Sam's Wholesale Club in Oklahoma City on the one on the north side by the Turnpike, if you guys want to know, because I look sexy today with my orange shirt. But anyway, so current temperature is 82 degrees, wind still out of the southeast around 10 miles an hour. I have Cody Galiner in here from Ducks Unlimited, and we're talking a little bit of ducks, where the money goes, habitat, because it all involves agriculture and clubs like Ducks Unlimited, the National Wildlife Turkey Federation, Pheasants and Quail Forever. We do a lot around here, and a lot of it didn't get shown, but believe me, it happens. So anyway, welcome back.
There's definitely a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't see.
And
I know I could sit here all day and think all of our supporters and all the people that donate and all the people that come out and attend events. And thank you to all of you that ever have in the past. But we got to continue that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure people in this area, I feel like people get beat up a lot. You guys have your quail deal, turkey, NRA. The school will ask for money every time you turn around for kids doing something. And yeah, it's all great. And I know that people gets beat up quite a bit, but it is greatly appreciated. I want people to know that they truly are appreciated when they donate to organizations like this.
Yeah, it's great. Well, let's get back to some duck flyways or some numbers, and I know you've been looking at that one page awful hard, so share it with me because I want to know what you're looking at.
Just a little bit more on the numbers. You know, we talked about some different work we've done in the state, the different WMAs and stuff like that, and you know, nationally, we Ducks Unlimited has preserved or taken care of 15 million acres. Right around 15 million acres, and that's a lot. right here in the state of Oklahoma, I mean, we've done 37,000 acres alone, and that's a good start. But we've got so much further.
Was that on golf courses?
I don't know. That golf course deal is a touchy subject, but.
You think? You want to go see my 200 Canadians that I got roosting over there in Sayre?
No. I heard that golf course would be a great place to hunt if they ever wanted to open that up.
It's got plenty of water.
Yeah. But, you know, so we've talked about our local banquets and being a big way to raise money. Mm-hmm. There's a couple other ways you can do it, you know, and I don't know what the Quail has, but Ducks Unlimited has like we have life sponsors. We've got different programs where you can sign up and give your money without attending local banquets.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong.
We're the same thing.
We love to see you. We love to have you. We like to have a good time, adult beverages, good food. We've always got guns and good prizes. Come out to every event you can support. But there are other ways. We've got Ducks Unlimited license plates. Part of that goes to Ducks Unlimited. Part of it goes to making the license plates and everything else. But we also have our gun calendar program.
Right.
You guys run something like that?
Yep.
It's evolving every year. It's always getting better and better. You know, we went from giving away a gun every Tuesday and Thursday when the calendars first started, to now we have, like, Christmas in July. There's a prize, not necessarily a gun, but a prize
right
every day the month of July. You pick them calendars up for $50. Talk to any of your local chapter members, committee
right
members, and they can get you set up. Go down and see Lance at Advantage Audio. He'll get you set up. You can call me or whatever.
Who's all on the committee in the Elk City deal besides Lance?
Oh, there's a bunch of them, and I don't know if they all want their names broadcasted over air, but there are several.
Well, hang on. Let me run over there and get a copy of that jailbird deal, and we'll see if we can find them in there. Sorry about that. Wait a minute. I got a text in here. You're not wearing those expensive Mobidi shirts. Okay, anyway, I thought you had something good to say. Anyway, but they, you talk about doing that project at Black Kettle. Do you know what was going on up there?
No, I don't remember all the particulars on it. Like I said, I think that was 2 years ago. It was the year before the
pandemic.
Yeah. And so I don't know what all exactly they'd done, but I know they went in and reworked some gates and stuff like that to be able to hold some water, you know, regulate some water depths and stuff. So, they've done that, and I think that's kind of all it consisted of. That was kind of one of the smaller projects, but it got us up there and got us started, you know,
right,
so we can take off from there.
Did you guys do, was that a Black Kettle or was that a Pack Saddle?
Pack Saddle. Up there.
I remember
it
seeing
was
it.
At Pack Saddle.
Yeah.
Up there just south of Arnett, right there.
Yeah.
Pack Saddle.
Yeah.
Well, we've been just north of the bar, I guess.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, with Marcus.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That was, you're right. It wasn't
Quail,
Black Kettle. It
was
Pack Saddle.
I was, well, it's the same. I mean, Marcus does both of them, but they, I remember quail hunting through there and I thought, what are they doing here?
Right.
And that was what it was.
Yep. That was one of the projects we did a couple years ago.
It was east of the bar.
Yep.
And down, it was right next to the river.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. That's my favorite place to quail hunt, right there where that gate was being fixed.
Yeah.
So, here we go. Got another question. This question is ducks. Oh, I won't ask that on there because I don't know what that is. That trick question. Anyway, but they, have you guys done anything on private lands at all in Oklahoma that you know of?
I don't know that we have. It's a huge undertaking to get stuff like this done. I mean,
yes,
with working with the different, you know, the Department of Wildlife, working with the NRCS office, like everybody has to come together. If people has, I'm going to say a substantial amount of acres and you want to do a project, reach out to us. The worst we can do is come look at it and tell you if we think it'll work or not. But we have engineers in Houston. Yeah, I mean, it's a major undertaking. But I'm not going to tell you no that we won't do stuff, but there's people way higher than me that have to get involved to make those kind of decisions.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, because you got liabilities involved, sure. and there's a name involved, and that name has to be protected. I've got into that with quail, with the quail forever and the pheasants forever. You have to go. We got a Mender deal going on over there south of Sarah now on 80 acres at the City of Elk City has so graciously let us use on a year-by-year basis, where we're going to set up deal for Menders, and Ducks Unlimited and the turkey guys. They're all going to be involved in it. I mean, it's going to be a great deal. But they being part of that, because we're losing hunters every day.
Sure.
And we got to get our kids hunting.
And that's one thing I kind of want to touch on also is, it's great to have all this stuff, and part of the reason why we started this was for the youth, because we want to see young hunters coming out and growing up and being involved in the outdoors. I don't really want to touch on the whole kids staying inside playing on game consoles, but it happens. Yeah. And so if we can get kids outside and we can preserve not just wetlands, but outdoor, wildlife, in general, to get kids outside, that's just a great thing.
And it's fresh air. Sure. It feels good. And they don't have to wear a mask.
No
mask. Sorry, I was throwing that in there for Aaron. I got a question that I can ask you on air here. Do the massive construction of all these wind farms change the flight paths of migrating fowl? That's a good one.
That is a good question. And to be 100% honest, I will have to get back to you.
Yeah.
I will have to talk to somebody in the wildlife department. I'm going to say, I would say no, but I don't know that.
Right.
Because there are a lot of wind farms around, but I don't know.
And more coming in.
And there's more coming in. And I don't know. It seems pretty simple to navigate that, but I don't know. I've never tried flying through one, so I couldn't tell you.
Hey, Monty, I won't say his last name, he texts that in. Monty, have you ever tried flying through one? If you have, let me know, because I've seen you do some crazy stuff at choir practice. Anyway, but they, because I keep wanting to ask Lacey. Lacey Swope comes on every Tuesday,
sure.
And she's in my first segment. I keep wanting to ask her if she thinks that because it gets asked to me, if wind towers, all these wind tower farms, do they change the weather pattern? And so I keep wanting to ask her that, and now it's fresh back on my mind, so next Tuesday I'm going to ask her.
I don't know. I don't know if the turbulence in the air that those things would cause or the noise, I don't know what it would be, if it would deter waterfowl on their flight patterns or not. I don't know.
Well, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a biologist, but I've fracked by a couple wind tower farms.
Sure.
And when the wind's blowing, say, 20, 25 miles an hour, when you can hear those wind turbines over the frack crew going, something's changed.
But it seems like I've seen birds flying around those things, and being in wheat fields underneath. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I honestly couldn't tell you.
That's why we're not the big experts here.
That's
local experts. That's
exactly right.
So what's the future for your district for the rest of the year? What you got going on?
So Elk City, I don't have dates. We do have an app. Ducks Unlimited has an app on. You can get it on your phone for Android or iOS, smartphone or iPhone, whatever, and download it, and it will tell you as soon as we know a date is set in stone. And just like you said last year, it was so hard to plan something because there's a lot that goes into planning an event, and for all that to just be shut down immediately is a lot of lost effort, right? So it was hard last year. Now moving forward, if this doesn't come back too bad, then we'll plan events. As soon as we have a date set in stone, it'll go on the website. It'll be on the app. You can look it up by your state or whatever else. If you're planning on being on vacation, you want to stop and see how another state does it or whatever, you can look on there, all 50 states.
Stop by there and do it. That's pretty cool. Yeah, because I've been to the Custer County one, and I've been to the one here.
Yep.
And I've always wanted to go to another one, and I just...
I know, the guy that runs Altus, he's retired Air Force, and...
Imagine that.
Yeah, and the guy that does Lawton, he has orders to be moving in November, and we're going to have an event in both those areas before before the guy in Lawton leaves in November, we'll have an event there, and we'll have an event in Altus.
I might come to that one in Altus.
And it's not maybe be somewhere in Blair, Granite area, whatever, but it
that Altus steakhouse chapter. Is pretty cool in Blair.
Right. That's kind of where we're leaning towards. I don't know if he wants me to say it on air or not, but.
Well, you're his boss. What's he going to do?
Well, no, I mean, we've been treated very good at Fred's. We've been treated good by everybody.
Yeah.
But Daryl's done us really good at Fred's, and so we're looking at the back door in Blair. That's tentative. So, as soon as we have it, I guess it'll be on the website. It'll be on the app. You can look it up on there or whatever else. And like I say, all these local chapters have Facebook pages.
Right.
I'm not a social media guy. Go on there, look it up on Facebook or whatever.
Good for you.
Like it, send it, to share it, do whatever they do, and get the word out, you know.
Right. So what's the future hold for Ducks Unlimited as far as a big organization? Lots of things on the agenda this year?
Moving forward.
Right.
Trying to get bigger and better. You know, last year they were going to start the DUX, the Ducks Unlimited Expo, in Fort Worth at the Texas Motor Speedway.
Right.
And it got shut down. So then they didn't throw it together. They done a very good job, and they had it this year, and we attended that, and it was 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We were there all day Saturday. Huge event for any outdoor enthusiast, whatever, whether it's guns, side-by-sides, dogs, fishing, just outdoor gear, apparel, whatever it is you need to do with the outdoors, they had it there, and I would strongly suggest anybody interested in outdoors try to make that next year.
Yeah.
It was a very good event.
Yeah, because last year we didn't have our national deal.
Sure.
And it sucked.
Yeah, I mean, it does.
We didn't even have our state one. You know, we ended up having our local one.
Yeah.
But we cut back on attendance, max attendance, just so everybody felt a little more. You wasn't in there packed in there like sardines, but our banquet turned out good, and it shows the I don't know. It just shows you what people will do around here to support what we got going on.
Absolutely.
Because I think we had 60 less people and raised the same amount of money.
Right.
But I think alcohol come involved.
Well, that's what, you know.
Not really. I'm kidding.
When the government shuts you down and says you can't gather in that size of groups, you have to kind of think outside the box. And we had a ton of online deals. We had virtual, you know,
right.
Different things. And we still managed to raise that kind of money in a year where things weren't normal. So that's great. I mean, you got to give credit to the people for supporting.
So I got a response from the guy in the wind farm deal. He said, after choir practice, I could fly through a wind farm, but I wouldn't remember. So he doesn't have any physical evidence for us for our study we're talking about here.
We're going to have to do some studying.
I'm running a little short on time here, and man, I appreciate you coming in. And everybody, remember, I'm gonna have somebody in here from one of the conservation chapters. It's not a hunting club.
Right.
I mean, we're hunters, but it's not a hunting club. It's conservation. We're doing everything we can with your group, the group I'm part of, the National Wildlife Turkey Federation. We do a lot that people don't see, and we're the backbone of the hunters, I call it, because there's less and less hunters becoming every year. So anyway, and if anybody, say again, if anybody needs to find out anything about DU, what do they do?
You can get in touch with me. You can go down and see Lance Pitzer. You can get on the website online, Google it, Oklahoma Ducks Unlimited. We have the app. Hit up your local Facebook page or whatever. If we start seeing more activity on there, I will dedicate somebody to running that thing better than it has been taken care of in the past. But we just kind of let it go because I don't know how many followers it has. But if you're out there and you're listening, go like it, share it, do whatever, and let's get that thing going, and we'll keep it up and running a little bit better.
Great. Well, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. It's Jimmy Clark. I'll be right back.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, July the 29th. We expect the 5,500 cattle will start the auction at 8 a.m. Freedom, we got 67 steers and heifers, 450 to 550. Sharon, 155 steers at 9. Moreland, 565 steers, 9 to 1050. Enid got 74 steers, 8.5, Moreland 49 steers at 9, Slap Out 196 heifers, 6 to 8, Thomas 620 steers, 9 to 1050. Jeremy got 52 steers at 9, Enid 40 steers at 8, Cordell 40 steers, never 7.5, Spearman, Texas 106 steers, 8.5, Moreland 101 steers at 9, Albany, Texas 125 steers at 8, Fargo 180 steers at 9, and Fort Supply 130 heifers at 8. We've got several bigger deals. We got one family's got 900 to 1,000 cattle there, feeder cattle weighing 9 to 1050. And another family's got 620 weighing 9 to 1050 also. Give us a call. We work 100% for the seller. We'll start at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning. Last Tuesday, we got rained out on them 30 bred heifers. They're black and 25 bred cows and bears and them 7 guaranteed bulls. They'll be there next Tuesday. And we also have 30 other registered Angus cows, 5 and 6 year old. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the Everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back. It's 81 degrees. Humidity is at 65 degrees. Oh, it's dropped down to 64. Anyway, it's getting hot out there. The weather forecast, Long Ranger, 96 today, 97 tomorrow, 97 Friday, 100 degrees Saturday, and Sunday looks like 93 was most. It's going to be mostly sunny, then slight chance of thunderstorms in the evening. Well, speaking of weather and rain, and again, everybody knows how lucky we've been around here to get the rain that we've been getting this summer is unreal. I think I said it yesterday, I've never seen it this green. Well, along comes with all this green comes other problems, bugs, and I got some Athens that showed up on my alfalfa the other day, and I took a picture of it, and they got it to OSU because I thought it was just black Athens. Well, it ended up being cowpea Athens, and I've never had those before, but man, when you zoom in with the iPhone, they look way uglier than with the naked eye. But the talk of possible rain relief comes as the drought continues to impact crops with spring wheat conditions and hitting the lowest rating since 1988. The USDA's latest crop progress report shows only 9% of the spring wheat across the country is rated good to excellent. 66% is rated poor to very poor, which conditions continuing to deteriorate. USDA Ripley says you have to go back to 1988 to find a spring wheat crop rated this poor. And what we're talking about is up north into Dakotas and out west and into Canada. With the dry weather in the Midwest and disappearing moisture supplies in the upper Midwest, we saw a 2-point decline in good to excellent ratings down to 58%. That, of course, below last week's 60%, and now 12% is very poor to poor. And that's in the soybeans. And we're not really in the soybean belt, but it's above us and right to the east of us. And then taking a closer look at the soybeans, USDA shows Minnesota farmers are seeing the worst conditions in 18 years. The state's crop condition ratings dropped 7 points in just 1 week. Now 36% of the crop is rated good to excellent. Iowa's soybean rating slipping 4 percentage points to 61% good to excellent. So north and east of us, some way we got in here, we've got good rains way up north in the Dakotas and out west. I seen on the my website last night that I follow that the Arizona around the Phoenix area, the biggest part of the state, got into a monsoon deal yesterday, dropping anywhere from 4 to 10 inches all over the state. So that'll help a little bit with filling up some watering holes. But you know as well as I do, when it rains that hard, it runs off pretty fast. Sale barns. Elk City Livestock reports that I got last Friday was 1,110 head. Eric from Eric on steers, they had 13 head, averaging 520 on weight, brought $1.64. From Mobidi, Texas, they had 14 head in there, averaging 822, brought $1.48, which is really good. Heifers from Mangum, there was 15 in there at 580 average weight. They brought $1.51. Butcher cows were bringing up to $83. Bred cows were bringing up to $1,410 each. Pairs were bringing $1,750 each, up to $1,750 each. Butcher bulls, $1.550 per 100 weight, which is really good. I might consider selling my bulls, and it's pretty good chump change. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, they had 1,999 head. One other person should have brought one more, and that would have been even 2,000. But from Clarendon, they had 113 head of steers that average weight 687, brought $1.66. That's pretty good. Canute, there was 152 steers weighing at 923, brought $1.51. That's really good. Heifers, they had some from Rocky, 163 head, average $5.11, $1.64.50. Canute, there was 157 head of heifers that averaged $7.70, 151.35 per 100 weight. Butcher cows were bringing up to $86 per 100. Bred cows were bringing up to $1,250 each. Pairs were bringing $1,285. Butcher bulls was up to $1.10. So, yeah, I think about selling them bulls. But Elk City on July 30th is coming up this Friday. They got some consignments. From Crawford, there's 20 older cows with 200 to 400 weight calves on them. From Eric, there's 25 older cows weighing with calves to 300 to 400 weight on them. Cheyenne, there's two nice sets of homegrown calves, approximately 50 head each, weighing 500 to 600 pounds. Consignments over to Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at Clinton Monday, April the 2nd. Looks like from Rocky, there'll be 300 thin, long-winged, 400 to 600 pound heifers. And from Hammond, 25 really fancy, 500 to 600 round calves. Well, it's Wednesday, and if you guys remember, it's time for the Jimmy Tip of the Week. When you haul a load of calves to the vet 30 miles, don't forget your branding iron. It sucks when you leave it at home. So that's it for today. Have a great Wednesday, and God bless.
You've been listening to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
I am Randy Renner. On First Oklahoma Ag, Canada and Mexico are circumventing their USMCA trade commitments. The Senate Finance Committee was told this week, while the Judiciary Committee separately is looking at anti-competitive practices in the domestic meat packing industry. Alan Hunnema with the National Milk Producers Federation says Canada is not just continuing to keep U.S. dairy products out, it's circumventing USMCA export caps on milk protein, sending them elsewhere.
All over the world. We see them in markets. It is as big an issue from the exports we see leaving Canada as it is access to their market when it comes to the TRQs.
And Mexico is approving no applications under USMCA for biotech crops and biopharmaceuticals while phasing out imports of biotech corn. Michelle McMurray-Heath heads the Biotechnology Innovation Organization.
This is incredibly disturbing. It hampers our innovators from developing new technologies. We know that this behavior started with the new presidential administration in Mexico, but our companies have received mysterious silence from the Mexican regulator since this backlog began.
Both witnesses called on the Biden administration to hurry up and appoint a USTR trade negotiator to enforce USMCA. A view echoed by South Dakota Senator John Thune.
It's almost August and there's still not a nominee for chief ag negotiator at USTR. It's an issue I've raised with Ambassador Tai and more recently with other USTR nominees. The lack of an ag negotiator is deeply concerning.
Meantime, Senate Judiciary Committee is looking into an anti-competitive practice in the meatpacking industry, a move requested by Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. This is First Oklahoma Ag.